Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 86 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we've got my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are catching up because we didn't have an episode last week. Yeah. So we've got some news about upcoming Venthyr changes for monks in patch 9.1.5. As well as a lot of news about the WoW Classic seasonal servers that we had speculated about previously.
Yep.
Along with some other miscellaneous hotfixes and things like that.
Yeah, like Legion Mythic Plus stuff, I think, is on the list. So yeah, we got a little bit of smattering of stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of smattering of topics. But before we get into that, did you finally kill Sylvanas, Anom?
We did. We're done. We're free. We killed, we got down the encounter actually Tuesday on our second pull of the night. So we walked in there Tuesday and first pull, I think we had a sub, like it was like 45.2% wipe or something real, real close. And then, yeah, next attempt downed her. Sylvanas is one of those bosses. And I think this happens sometimes where like we just played well and the boss died. So it's like extremely. Yeah, it's a very anticlimactic boss fight where just like at one point we're on the third platform, like I'm in my head, like, all right, next arrows are coming up, get ready for the cooldowns, like in those called out and call them. And then she died. And I was like, isn't there more fight? Like I thought it's supposed to be hard. But no, it was really hard actually. But we got it. We got her down. Second pull, really, really clean pull. I think we had, we had like maybe like two or three deaths going into that, but we had all our battle rises, all of our deaths were in phase three. It was a good kill. So
nice.
Yeah. How is your progression going?
45.1%.
Oh, you're there.
So fingers crossed we kill tonight. Really, I think as long as we don't like throw and spend all our night in phase one and phase two, then we'll get the kill, no problem.
Yeah.
Slight wrench. I think we have one of our people out tonight that's been in for like all of our pulls. So, thankfully, I don't think it's somebody that is like, you know, they don't have assignments. It's not something that's going to be, you know, force us to redo all of our assignments in order to accommodate. But
yeah,
still that's awkward.
Yeah, it's never good. That's never good. Yeah, you could. I will tell you that we got stuck in spell queuing on the queue or on the kill. Sorry, so she didn't actually die until like 44.7%, and there was a part of me that was like, "We've got to go to 44.5." Like, I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" So
yeah, I think Panini actually has a spreadsheet tracking all the different values. Either Panini or a guy that used to be in OE, Ednil, had a spreadsheet with all the different health percentages that she would die at.
Oh, really?
Like, see basically who could overkill her by the largest amount.
That's pretty awesome.
Kind of like, you know, I'm assuming we're going to end up selling Mythic Sylvanas for most of the rest of the expansion because she's got a mount. Stuff like trying to actually kill Jaina in Battle of Tzarlor, which we've done in sales.
Yeah.
Just like get her to 1 HP and then she's. Yeah.
So she's dead, quote unquote dead at that point. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely hope you get it. It was, like I said, it was super. It wasn't, the boss just like died. So there wasn't like a tense moment like, oh, it's going to be close or we have to do a couple things or, you know what I mean? Just sort of fell over. So I didn't, it's funny. Like I look back at some of the other end boss kills that I've done and like I keep wanting to get the Jaina feeling back. I think I still have a clip of the kill of this where it's like, I guess Jaina had the mechanic. So like we on our Jaina kill, basically everybody got frozen in ice, right at the end. So it was like, it was super tough. We all got frozen in ice. I'm like slamming defensives, like right before it hits. And like in my, like, it's at that like 3 or 4 seconds of just like waiting for dots to tick her down where you're just like, and then you kill her. You're like, oh man,
you know, awesome. the way to get that feeling. You have people play, Bonesmith Hyremir and they have the 10 seconds and then, you know, the rest of the raid dies and you just like the people that are Necrolord running that. that's it. That's what you got. Focus. They're your dots. That's actually how our Denathrius kill was.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
We had like a rogue and a shaman that were up. And that's awesome. It was incredibly close. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully, like, I feel like we've spent the weekend figuring out some ways we can optimize our like phase two boss damage a little bit more. I think we were overcommitting to the damage on the adds. So we're gonna see how that plans out. As well as a couple of positioning changes in phase three to maybe eke out a little bit more damage. And I think between all of that, we should beat the final raise. Like we should, if everybody's alive. People aren't alive, it's gonna be spicy.
As it always is. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, I definitely hope you get it. I mean, yeah, we start farm modes now this week. So we should have full heroic clear after we killed her because it was so early in the night. And we were like, ah, let's just kill some heroic bosses, chill, get the people who like sat out in for a little raid and sort of like joke around for an hour or two, clear some heroic stuff. So yeah, it was good. So well, cool. I guess we'll get into sort of some stuff that happened, I guess, over the past 2 weeks since we haven't talked a lot about this. I guess the first big thing that I wanted to go in, since I did the notes, are the monk changes on PTR. And the big one is, of course, the Fallen Order change. So Blizzard has gone in and made a fair number of changes to Fallen Order, which, of course, is the Venthyr ability for monks. And I mean, I'll read through these sort of quickly, but they basically buffed the Oxideps. They now offer a shield, so for 8 seconds, which is solid. They buffed the damage from the Tiger Adepts Tiger Palm by a massive amount, 200%,
which
actually isn't that massive when the number was already small. the Tiger Adepts will now cast Spinning Crane Kicks. So you get a little bit more AoE damage from them. They also get like a movement speed buff for that. And then in terms of the specific, like the other specific adepts, I guess, that spawn, the Brewmaster, the Ox Adepts Breath of Fire damage reduction, now prefer to heal you over other players. So you get a little bit more self-healing, essentially, as a Brewmaster. Mistweavers, the Enveloping Mist, no longer gains lower cooldown from Monk's Haste, which we'll talk about maybe in a little bit detail. That's an interesting one. and then Windwalker, the Tiger Adepts attacks now count towards your Spinning Crane Kick bonus. And then the Crane, again, in this case, Crane Adepts will prefer healing the Windwalker over other players. So a little bit more self-healing there. So on all, some damage increases, you know, some changes in the way some abilities function in terms of priority, and then a weird Mistweaver change. So I don't know if you want to go through the sort of, I guess my biggest question, and I can answer for Mistweaver, but in terms of like the Brewmaster stuff that you guys have looked at, does this sort of change Venthyr's rankings?
Not really.
At all?
Not really.
Okay.
Basically, the Tiger Palm damage increase is 200% of zero is still basically zero, that kind of thing. And we have really good legendaries, is the other thing. Yeah. We could run the Venthyr legendary. We like crit's very good for Brewmaster, especially. So we could run the Venthyr legendary and have, you know, on Fallen Order. Current indication is still not going to be competitive in terms of damage, but obviously by the time 9.2 hits, maybe that changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more interesting piece is the increased damage reduction and the shield from the Ox Adepts. So you're guaranteed, I think it's 4 Ox Adepts, as well as 4 Ox Adepts, and then each of the other two kinds is like usually how it breaks down. But you're guaranteed 4 of the Ox ones if you're Brewmaster, which means you get a shield for 40% of your health. And when you look at that 10% of your health, you're just like, oh, 10%, there's like 8 of them, that's pretty big, but you only get 4 that are Ox Adepts. So it's 40% of your health on it, unless you're running the legendary, 3-minute cooldown.
Yeah. A little lackluster.
Yeah, and we don't have good information on how the Breath of Fire DR stacking works yet, because of, like, it's a small DR, it's 5%. So it's pretty difficult to tease out. We have to like actually set up a like a raid on PTR basically,
yeah,
to figure it out, because 5% of like how the tank dummy hits you is like one damage.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's really unlikely that it's going to be like good. It will be less embarrassing.
Gotcha.
It will be a less embarrassing. It's kind of, it's going to take it from being absolute dumpster tier to like, still would strongly advise you play something else, but you know, follow your heart kind of thing.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. And I think for Mistweavers, it's essentially sort of from a healing perspective, a slight decrease. I mean, having the same amount of adepts on your off spec spawn is nice just in terms of consistency, right? So the damage will be end up being more consistent. You'll get the same number of Tiger adepts, and then the Ox adepts now will heal you or provide you with the self shield, right? Which is cool.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with the Mistweaver one, which is so the way that they read the note reads is that Crane adepts enveloping mist from Fallen Order no longer gains cooldown reduction from the Monk's Haste. So what we had found out, and we were never able to accurately or consistently reproduce this, is that in certain cases, your Crane adepts will cast more than one enveloping mist over their lifespan. So generally, like the way that I think Blizzard intended the ability to work is that for each Crane adept that spawns, you get one enveloping mist cast. What was happening though is that in certain cases, you get one enveloping mist cast right at the beginning, and the cooldown was short enough that it came up right as the Crane adept was dying, so it had enough time to make its cast and then disappear.
Yeah.
And so our thought was always that it was somehow haste based, but we could never accurately reproduce it at varying levels of haste. Meaning, like you could run 5-6 low percentage haste, still get that extra cast, or you could run 20-30% haste and still only get one extra cast. So we never fully understood how haste applied to this ability, which is why at the time we just chalked it up to like a timing thing. Like the way that the spells time themselves out or the adepts time themselves out, some of them just live slightly longer and were able to get it off cooldown without much problem, right?
Yeah.
So Blizzard says it's something about haste. We have not been able to reproduce exactly what that means. But what it does seem is that from PTR, right, you are no longer going to get that second enveloping miscast randomly, basically.
Yeah.
So the initial math.
So what does that mean for Mistweaver's use of Fallen Order? Does it really change anything?
No, I mean, people, I think the math that Abbe and Volk put out was like, it's a 15% reduction in overall healing, but that's overall. So it's not effective. And the idea is the ability itself can already overheal a fair amount. So, I mean, to be fair, it is a nerf, but it's one that doesn't necessarily move rankings in terms of, you know, Fallen Order is still probably your best HPS. Or not still probably, it's still your best HPS. A covenant you can run. So yeah, so it doesn't materially move Venthyr. It lowers its, you know, sort of cap slightly, but I would say that you probably don't feel it in your actual playstyle. So yeah, and the biggest thing too is like the Crane adept, like people have been sort of asked a couple questions about like, well, if you get one less enveloping mist, that's, you know, less chance of cooldown reduction if you're running Signature Teachings, the legendary, but Fallen Order monks don't contribute to cooldown reduction. It's only spells from you as the monk that contribute.
Also, so if you're playing Venthyr, wouldn't you pretty much always be using the Fallen Order legendary anyway?
You would, but the idea would be is the idea was you'd get less cooldown reduction, so you'd have like instead of being able to cast it every minute based on like current timings, you could only cast it every minute 20, minute 30, right? And in that case, you'd get less crits.
Okay.
Yeah, fewer events to crit, but it doesn't matter because you know your Fallen Order adepts don't contribute to the cooldown reduction.
Got you.
So yeah, so it's basically you lose like one enveloping mist per usage of Fallen Order, generally speaking. And so it is a substantial amount because enveloping mist from the Fallen Order adepts is the largest amount of their healing, but at the same time, it was random anyway, and the ability itself, like it's you won't generally notice it.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so minor nerf, but to be fair, not anything to like run and go change to a different covenant unless you want to. Right. Unless you
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's still going to be bad for Windwalker. The problem ultimately being that it is not a damage multiplier.
Right.
it is just flat damage effectively. Like you hit it, they all do their own damage. They don't impact your damage directly, unlike the Necrolord or Kyrian abilities, which amplify your damage. So
right.
I don't think it's ever going to be competitive for Windwalker until that changes. So
still probably a Mistweaver only type covenant. So if you're exclusively playing Mistweaver, probably your best bet in terms of choices, but if you are going to play the other ones, or to be fair, Fallen Order can be somewhat boring to some people. You want something maybe a little bit more interactive, you know, you probably should play something else, because Fallen Order is just slam it on cooldown and hope for the best in terms of crits while it's out. So but yeah, so that's the Fallen Order update. Seems like Blizzard's starting to like a little bit of, I guess, surgical changes to some of these things, which is cool to see. We're starting to see some more and more class changes on PTR. So yeah, and I realize that this is slightly out of order. I did want to talk about the other change for monks, which is they made the Chi Burst change, which I don't know if you had caught.
Did we talk about that last time?
Oh, we did. Was it not that long ago? And I'm just an idiot. Okay, so I think we already
I don't know.
So
the AOE cap change on Chi Burst.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Okay. Cool. All right. So then. Caps.
Okay. Unless they changed it again.
No. I think it might. To be fair, the notes might have just updated the tooltip. Was the notes that I caught. So.
Gotcha.
Sorry about that. So we can skip that one off the list. So yeah, I think that's it for monk changes that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet on PTR. So. So moving through some of the other items, they did fix a couple issues with Painsmith, still sort of tweaking that fight this week. So basically, they fixed an issue that might have caused Painsmith to cast his basically axe throw or his weapon throw during transition, which can be sort of rough, I'll tell you. We actually saw that happen once or twice, I think, during progression. Like as he's running away, he turns and casts his weapon and then jumps immediately up, and you have the moving spikes.
Yeah, the wave of spikes. Axe, yeah.
Along with the waves that was always hell on earth. So I don't know if you ever got that one, but that was a little bit rough.
We didn't get that exact one, but even just having it go off, you know, immediately before he runs away is like not as bad, because you have a little bit more time. Like usually you could maybe cross the spikes before he actually spawns the first wave, but yeah, it's it's not pleasant.
No. And the other thing too was that sometimes I guess if you got potted, basically the Dream Weaver Soul Bind.
We did have this one happen.
Okay, I don't think we ever saw this, but if you had the chains ability and you got potted going into the transition, the chains would persist into the transition.
Yes.
At that point, that chains person just jumps off, right? Like
Well, if they realize they've still got it, they jump off. If they don't, they knock the rest of the group into the spikes, and then we wipe. which is what happened to us.
Oh, geez.
Because someone, one of our warlocks, I think it was, got potted, had chains when they potted, they just like bled out kind of thing.
Then
the pod wore off as the, you know, intermission was starting. They didn't realize that they still had the chains.
Gotcha.
They may have even been missing the animation for the chains. But
interesting.
Yeah, they knocked some people into some spikes, and then we wiped.
That's hilarious. So a couple of nice changes there to not make you wipe right away. I think that's it from bug fix the past couple of weeks. I haven't seen anything else major.
No.
And then to be fair, I honestly haven't played WoW since we killed the boss on Thursday, or Tuesday. So I'd be taking a little bit of a break there. So I think next up is they've made some changes. I guess we'll sort of shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Mythic Plus coming, or Legion Mythic Plus coming as a part of the Time Walking. And Blizzard sort of started to post some additional things on exactly what they're going to do with some of the rework. So the first question that people had was like, Number one is Azerite gear and Azerite essences is going to be something that's active during this time period, or a function in the dungeons. Blizzard basically came out and said, no, it's not. I think it was working on PTR, at least initially, but, you know, Azerite gear, Azerite essences. Yeah. Should not be functioning, which I think is the big thing. And then the other thing, which I actually had forgotten about, but I guess this was a thing in Legion, is active mitigation.
So this was not really a big thing for brewmasters, because Iron Skin Brew was our active mitigation button for these checks, and you just always had Iron Skin Brew up, so you by default always had these. For tanks with, they didn't have 100% uptime like Demon Hunters and Prop Paladins, it was a big deal because some of them were really scary. Some of them were just kind of annoying, stuff like Dargruul Smash does a knockback if you don't have active mitigation up. But then there's also stuff like they weren't really implemented the best for all classes. Like for Blood DK, you got a buff when you used Death Strike called Recently Used Death Strike, and that was your active mitigation buff. But you're supposed to Death Strike after you get hit.
Yeah.
So you basically had to Death Strike twice for every active mitigation check. Once to put the buff up, and once to actually heal from the mechanic.
Yeah, that was definitely annoying. So they basically, they're going through and they're sort of removing a lot of the text around things where, like, yeah, if you didn't have active mitigation up, you take some additional either damage or a knockback or an additional effect. So they've started to sort of remove that from the abilities, right? So the abilities just hit normally like they would. Nothing real detailed. So they've also mentioned, which is interesting, is that they're going to go through and make these sort of fixes. So active mitigation is one of those. The other thing they talked about was snapping, basically potentially fixing how snapping works in some of these dungeons, which would be interesting to me because that was such an integral part to like certain dungeons. And like, to be fair, in the way that like Mythic Plus, you know, played most of Legion, right? Like there was always snap spots in every dungeon. Like you always looked for them. You know, I think Atal Dazar was like the classic snapping on the little Sarids, little dinosaur everywhere. But like you do snap spots in like Mechagon, or what is it? The Mechagon dungeon? What was the downstairs one? The inside one.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the obelisk people, you'd want to snap ahead through the maze that's there before like the second to last boss. So you want to snap that guy ahead because it was the spider normally that took forever to walk and cast, and then so there's like different snap spots you could use pretty much all over the place, which was interesting if they fixed that. So
yeah, so for Legion Dungeons, the only one I remember actually snapping was in
those were all BFA dungeons, weren't they?
Those were all BFA dungeons, yes.
I'm an idiot. All right, sorry. Legion snapping on the same page. God, I'm dumb. Can we edit that part out?
No.
Sounds good. I'm dumb. All right, let's go.
The only Legion dungeon I remember snapping, which I was not a high key pusher, so this is me as more of a casual player. Darkheart Thicket, the cats in particular.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep, 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 yep.
Because then you could snap them up onto like the branch, and then they wouldn't jump on people, if I remember right. Same idea as with the Saurids. Like the Saurids, if you snap them over to where they couldn't path, like no path available to the rest of the party, they just wouldn't jump.
Yeah, they just sit there, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm an idiot. Sorry, I can't get off the fact that I literally described four BFA dungeons in my little example there. I'm an idiot. All right.
I am curious, though. Like, so snapping is something that did work in these Legion dungeons. When they come back, how much snapping are we actually going to see?
Yeah, I don't know. Because,
like, snapping is a way to, like, work the dungeons really, really got figured out in BFA.
Right.
Which is why all your examples are from BFA, is because that's when people were really like, yes, we can abuse this. We've, you know, made a science of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of like, I'll be completely honest with you. Like the only thing I remember about doing most in Legion Mythic Plus was either doing the boat one, Maw of Soul, right? The Azara one, which had like you'd go around the outside of the boss and then loop back and the boss is in the middle. Those were like the two dungeons I did every week to get my 10 done. So maybe you could do some interesting snapping in Maw, but like that place is so short anyway. You just pull all the trash.
I don't even think like I am 90% sure that you can snap things in Maw inside the boat. Cause I feel like I did it on accident before I knew what snapping was. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I just teleported behind me and did a frontal and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, what they do. No.
Okay. Wait, is Maw on the list of dungeons that's coming back?
I don't actually, right? It's gotta be.
It has to be. I'm finding this now. Fuck. Because the lantern guy on the boat. You remember him?
The second. Is that the, it's not the last boss, right? The one right before that?
No, not the boss even. The trash mob walking around underneath the
boat. Oh, yes. I do remember the lantern guy.
Fuck. That guy's gonna hurt.
Yes, I remember that. That was my introduction to play. So the guild that I'm in now, I had joined them right at the end of MOP. So went into Legion with them and did not like, I had done like maybe a couple like farm raids, right? For like a month or two. So I hadn't really done anything progression worthy with them. And I got taken into Maw to like run Maw a bunch of times as a healer for them. And like one of the druid tanks, who was a boomkin, but he tanked in Mythic Plus, just would pull everything. Like I was not like, hey, we're in guild run. We're gonna have a chill guild run. And like, he would just be pulling and pulling and pulling. And like, I have scars about Maw in terms of just like nonstop, like whole first floor, just everything. And I'm like, I was new. So I was like, I can't slow down. I gotta like make a good impression here. But yeah, no, I hate that place.
I have very fond memories of bolstering the shit out of that lantern guy.
I can imagine.
And then having this unkillable lantern god that just wipes your group. He's at 5%, but that 5% is now equivalent to his original health pool. And like the lantern ticks basically one shot you. And, you know, the entire group has a line of sight every time he does it. And if anybody's there for even a single tick, they're just like sent to the shadow realm.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, it'll be fun to go back there. I really did enjoy. Well, I didn't do many Legion Mythic Pluses. Like I did actually enjoy like the dungeons back then. I thought they were all pretty well put together. So
yeah, I enjoyed them. I'm looking forward to it a lot, actually.
Yeah, cool.
I wonder if it'll count for my Mythic Plus score, so I can finally get the achievement because I have not done very many keys this season.
Probably not. Blizzard, not at all. All right, I think. Moving forward a little bit, they have, I don't know if we talked about this, they've data mined at least most, if not all, of the achievements associated to Mage Tower. So with Mage Tower coming back, another thing coming back with Legion Time Walking, essentially they've I think at this point have all the major achievements and the rewards. So, you know, of course, if you complete a reward or complete a Mage Tower sort of a scenario, I guess you would call them, you get sort of an armor piece for that class, right? And then the other piece is they've added in, if you do all the unique ones, you get a mount, which I think is really cool. It's a spell book that looks pretty dope. And then
I wonder, so they've also got this achievement, complete every challenge at the Mage Tower across all classes and specialization during the Legion Time Walking events. I wonder if there's credit for doing them back in Legion, because I had like 30 out of 36 done.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't have all classes max level, so that's going to be...
I had most, like the only, the six I didn't have were Mage and Warlock that I didn't level during Legion. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I doubt that it will count. I would love if it does though, because I would be like, I would have, you know, it would actually be possible for me to finish the achievement during the first time walking, because I have a warlock and I could finish leveling my mage before it. But
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm going to go back and do all the monk ones, I think. I don't know if I'll do other classes. I mean,
yeah,
I am sort of a mount collector, and like that mount does look pretty cool, so I might.
You only need like 3 classes to hit all 7.
Yeah.
I think like Death Knight gets the Imp one, the Frost one, and the Tank one, of course. And then Monk gets the Healer one, the Dark Rule one, and then the Tank one. So you just need the, I think Hunter gets you the rest of them.
Yep. Should. Yeah, because the Hunter, each Hunter spec has a different one, doesn't it?
Yeah. Although Survival also does the Imp one again.
Yeah.
And wait, no. And no, Survival does the Frost one. BM does the Dark Rule one, and then Marksmanship does the one in space.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I don't know. I'll have to figure out what classes we'll need, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see how we do it. So I'm just excited for something new to do, something to sort of grind out a little bit. I'll be completely honest with you, like as well as a game, it's just they're making a lot of it's a lot of changes they've been putting in, but there's just such a drought in what to do that I feel like it's funny, like I've always felt like after a raid tier, generally, like I sort of raid log and I'm fine with that. But even now I'm like, there's really no reason for me to even log in outside of a raid at all. Like I used to quote unquote raid log, but I still maybe do dailies one day or like do a mythic plus or two. But like now it's just like log in Tuesday at 7:45, pop flask, log out at the end of the raid, still have my same flask on the start of the next raid. Right. Yeah. So
I think so getting a little bit off topic, but I think part of it is actually the power creep from the domination sets this year. There's no real need for me to do Mythic Plus because like there's from week 2, there was like 1 item I could get from it.
Yeah.
It or I guess 2 of them because I can dual wield the Pox Storms, but you know, I could get Pox Storms and I could get like a trinket. And it all comes from Plaguefall, coincidentally. So really, the best thing to do is just chain run Plaguefall, which I ran a fair number of Plaguefalls, not as many as some other people in my guild. But it's really all like centered in that one dungeon. And unless I want to do more Plaguefalls, there's really not much point in me doing Mythic Plus.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, I got really lucky in terms of running dungeons early that this season, at least, that I got like the 2 best trinkets you can get are out of Mythic Plus. In Changeling and the Ruby, the crit trinket. I got both of those very early. And so once I sort of got my Keystone Master for season 2, like that was it, right? Because then I could upgrade those to max. And then like, do I really care about another, like, what is it, 6 item level? It's 233 to 252. So it's 19 item level, right? Like, does that gonna make or break on a trinket? Probably not.
I mean, I have the ooze trinket from Plaguefall that I got from my box, so it's already 252.
Yeah.
Which is like, so the only other thing I can get is I have to actually get the Pox Storms to drop, which is the hard part.
Right.
That is the hard part. Because the loot table's so big. And there's only 1 good, I guess 2 good items on it for me. And a bunch of them that aren't. And so it's just like, at this point, I think the main thing that I would do Mythic Plus for is just getting my score up to 2K to get the achievement, because I've not done that yet this season. I am still only like 1400 or something. I have 3 entire dungeons that I have 0 runs of.
Yeah, I did that really early. Just again, I think it's just because I like mounts. I've realized I've come to terms with the fact that I'm a mount collector at heart. So like to me, like mounts are just like the coolest thing. So
Who got the mount from Sylvanas? The mounts from Sylvanas.
Our holy paladin did. So we stopped, like, because they're personally, we basically stopped giving them out. Like, so whoever gets it gets.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like we're gonna do the same thing. Like basically, if it drops for you, you get to keep it. If you don't want it, you put it up for roll.
Yeah. So yeah. So our holy paladin did, and then our hunter has this thing where he does not learn mounts. So he has every end boss mount like in his bag, unlearned. So what he does, if he ever gets one, he just trades it. So like we got like he put his up for trade, and then like our GM on raid leader sort of like picked who to give it to. So we didn't like free roll it. It was just sort of a put it up, and then like they assigned it out, which is cool because like with that they were able to do like a little speech about like the person who got it. So it's like, it's corny because it's kind of a game, but at the same time, it's like we just spent like 4 months in this instance, right, or whatever it ends up being, like, yeah, to do it. So yeah, that was really nice. Yeah, it was funny that he got the first one, that F6 is the hunter's name, got the first one, but yeah, he put it up for roll, and then I went to our shadow priest actually, who ended up like emergency healing for us early on in the tier, and then like he's been in the guild like just as long as I have, but shadow priests have never been super good, so I think this is like his first or second like end boss progression kill with us. So
nice.
Yeah, so it was super cool. But yeah, those are the two folks that ended up getting it. It's just funny. I went to the F6. It's just hilarious. Like, you'll see screenshots of his bags. He's still got, like, the Argus mount unlearned, like, sitting there and, like, all that type of stuff. So he's a funny dude. But yeah, him and the Holy Paladin got the first two mounts. So good on them. I just, oh, God, just want mine. Then I'm done.
I actually really want this mount because I collect all. I have all the Dragonhawk mounts except for this one.
Oh, that's cool. I just like end boss mounts.
I like them too, but pandas look really dumb on Dragonhawks. I'm not gonna lie. They look really dumb. Dimitri in chat. We have talked about Venthyr Mistweaver yet, so the TLDR is no big change. But if you want the full breakdown, the VOD will be up after this show.
Yeah, just a little too late there. All right, so I think one more thing before we get into sort of our seasonal WoW topic is BDDG, which this has been really cool. I don't know if you followed this, but they've been doing a bunch of write-ups with WoWhead in terms of like essentially like postmortems on their world first race and stuff like that this tier. And so BDDG, they Blue Blah, who I believe is their like GM/owner dude, put up a pretty lengthy post on WoWhead just sort of going through their transition from like a very good 4-night-a-week, 4-hour-a-week or 16-hour-a-week guild to a world first contender, and was pretty open. It was pretty funny. Like, he basically was like, yeah, first year we tried this in Castle Nathry, we sucked. Like, it was real bad. he's like, we basically went from like world 14th to like world 9th, but like we were just terrible. And so he was like, the biggest thing we learned, like, there is such a difference between being like an efficient nighttime guild and like a world first raiding guild. Like, it's not like a small jump. And sort of goes through like some of the things that they sort of had to learn going through Nathria that then they applied to this tier, which was like, you know, having an actual schedule, right? Which is seems sort of something you should have, but like actually literally like having people check in at a certain time and be online for a certain amount of time and like eat dinner at a certain time. He mentioned like their first pull on Guardian, they got it to 40,000 health, then took an hour break. Not because
my guild fucking memes me for like, we'll have a great pull and then it's break time. So I put up the break timer. It's like, it's break time, guys.
Yeah.
Get up and go stretch. We'll come back. It'll be here. Yeah.
So they did that. Like, they also mentioned like cleaning up their early boss stuff. So like making sure like literally having strategies ready for every boss, like start to finish, like before you even enter the instance, having things set up for like custom timers and weak auras there. You know, all that sort of stuff where it's like, instead of like, and they mentioned it basically like, when we used to raid 4 hours a night, we'd have 4 hours to raid and then 20 hours to figure out what we want to do next and then get back in there and raid. And so like, we were able to use a lot of that downtime, like the people who were like in leadership positions could, to make adjustments and changes before you go in and get the raid back in there. Yeah. And like the biggest difference when you raid day raid or when you try and go for world first is like, you need to do that stuff as you're raiding. So like, there's a lot more like urgency in getting like going through that and stuff like that. So
it is also good if you can do that while you're raiding a few hours, but it's definitely not as necessary when at most you're losing like a couple of hours of time.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so I mean, it was like they were they also sent their new raid leader to 21st Man, a US 700 guild. I don't know if you saw that bullet in there. Which was funny. So but yeah, it's an interesting read about all the stuff that goes into it. And then like them at the end basically being like, yeah, and this got us world fourth. And they were like days behind Limit and Echo. So it's just like, to even contend with those two guilds, like we have to do this plus more, right? Is sort of like the conclusion. So it's an interesting read to look through, or to just read through about like the prep that World Fourth Guild did. And then realize it wasn't enough to get them to World First, and like what the type of like preparation like a Limit or an Echo does. So
yeah. It's really interesting hearing about all the kind of outside of raid stuff. And I definitely can empathize, like as the one of the guys that does a lot of the log stuff for my guild. Yeah. I can definitely empathize with the need to get stuff done mid raid, because we've had nights where we're like, you know, if we had fixed this cooldown assignment issue 30 minutes into the raid night, we would have made a lot more progress. But I only figure it out, you know, the next day because I'm looking at logs after raid.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and that's the kind of thing, if you're raiding 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day or whatever they were doing, then you can't afford to lose 12 hours wiping to that bad cooldown assignment.
It's interesting. It's a very interesting read just about all the prep that goes in, and like stuff that you sort of I think hear about, but like not the amount that goes into like even pre the race. Like they need to literally, like they even talked about like we'd have boss strategies before we'd go on PTR and fight up the bosses. Like we'd base it on like PTR notes or like, you know, before they're even testable and things like that. So So it's a cool read to see. I hope they keep doing stuff with BDG. I think, I mean, as a guild, like I have a little bit of a soft spot for them because it's where, you know, Dobbs came from and spent a bunch of time talking to him about the game. I always sort of cheering for them as the underdogs, right? But it's cool just to see all the prep work that goes in. And the fact that they're pretty open about the fact that like, yeah, we did all this and we're still only world fourth, like, and we're so far behind the other
they're
two.
They're very self-aware. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we did this, we're good. We're still behind though.
Exactly. But cool. I'm trying to think, was there any other thing before jumping to the main topic today? I don't think so. That's a nice little review. So the main topic I want to talk about today, which was maybe not very Monk specific, but I think it's interesting in terms of a direction for WoW moving forward, which is basically they released an article. So Blizzard released an article on what they're calling it like WoW classic seasons. And the first season called Season of Mastery, which essentially is them starting, you know, Greenfield or brand new WoW classic servers with a couple of tweaks, and the idea of these servers lasting essentially 12 months. So all of the content that would typically be put into the game will be released on a certain schedule over the course of 12 months. With I think the way that they're doing, they're keeping the similar phases from the original classic release, but those phases now become 2 month long phases. So shortened time periods, but you know, so shortened time periods actually do the work, but they're doing some other changes to both, I guess, maybe alleviate some of that, but also not alleviate all the difficulty in terms of how you get through this content. Yeah. So I guess I'll go over some of the high level tweaks that they're doing, and then we can sort of dive into what this means. So a couple of the big things, these are sort of the big ticket items they made in their post, was that number one, they're going to disable world buffs in raid instances.
This is good. The world buff meta in Classic WoW was bad and dumb. The only reason people liked it, like in any way, is because of like the positive feedback from having it and then being able to turn that into like a good speed run parse.
Exactly. Like,
the world buff meta was bad. I say this as someone that didn't actually raid Classic, but from the outside looking in, there is no way that, you know, running around collecting all your buffs and having them add like a specific item just so that you don't have to then log out for the rest of the week so you can have them for raid and then lose them if you die at all ever during the raid is like a good experience. I'm sorry. That's just dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting change, but I think to your point, I think it ends up being just a good change at the end of the day. Just in terms of like having to set up for a raid with the decreased time. So again, this is all with the mindset of like you only have 2 months now in each phase. You have 2 months to level and clear what's in phase one, like Molten Core and Onyxia, right? So like get as much gear as you can from that in 2 months, which is only, to be fair, what, 7 resets of gear? So not a ton for 40 people, which we'll talk about gear in a second. And then you hit like phase two and phase three. So like the idea is like you have less time in these instances. And then if you're worried about world buffs and clearing as fast as you can or as many times as you can, right? Good change. Also increases the difficulty, right? If you can, of these encounters that are now like 20 or 16, 17 years old. Sorry. So it's that piece. They're also, I'm going to do this kind of slightly out of order because I think it'll be this way, is they're also removing the debuff limit, which is actually a massive change. So
yeah, that's huge.
If you don't remember, back in original Classic, actually even before the 1.12 patch, the debuff limit was only 8 actually. And then in the 1.12 patch, they doubled it to 16 debuffs, I believe. So in WoW Classic that we played, it was 16 debuff limit on any boss mob, which is not a lot considering like debuffs will include like Sunder Armor and Rend and any Warlock dot or Curse or, you know what I mean? So all that type of stuff fit under that debuff. With them removing it, it's good. It'll be great for classes, particularly Warlocks. I have a soft spot for Warlocks. I played one in Classic.
It's going to also probably change, or it could change the meta around things like Rogues, because playing a dot build instead of playing, you know, the combat-oriented build could be better. Because you don't have to worry about, like, the debuff slots.
Yeah, pushing anything off that's more important than your dots, yeah. So definitely that's a huge change in terms of just, freeing up some more creativity, some more specs being potentially viable, right? The other thing they're doing in accordance with this debuff change is they're also increasing the health of most boss mobs. So boss mobs will just generally have more hit points because of this debuff limit being removed. And also some other general player buffs they've mentioned. And then the final thing they're doing, which I think is the most, not the final thing, but the final major thing they posted about, that they're doing is they're restoring mechanics that were removed early on to some raid bosses, which I don't particularly know what this means because
me neither.
It's been so long. Like, I don't remember what they could not have removed over the course of a boss's lifespan. But it's interesting now that we get they term it as like restoring mechanics. But to be fair, does this also mean like, and I'm thinking more forward, right? In like Season of the Mastery 2, is it now like, there's now I would hate if they do this, but this is a Blizzard idea, so they're probably going to do this, is like you have like Season of the X and there's a theme around it. And like every boss, or maybe not every boss, but certain bosses now have abilities that go with that theme. So almost like Mythic Plus seasons, but like in terms of like raid mechanics, which would be cool if they did that, I think. Maybe.
It really depends on the execution.
Yeah.
Because I don't think like I would honestly I feel like it would be better if they stick to like systems changes, you know, maybe the next season after the Season of Mastery, mm-hmm. they have one where the season is all about, I don't know, like loot acquisition gets changed somehow. And there's things that you can do to boost or like control it somehow, just like do a kind of small systems thing to do that. But the bosses are the same. But then again, maybe the bosses, we'll see how the Season of the Mastery ends up. Like if the bosses end up being at a good level, then I think that would be the way I would like to see them go. Mm-hmm. But also if the bosses still end up being like completely trivial, maybe Season of the Mastery 2 is just like more HP.
Yeah.
Bosses have more HP, do more damage.
Yeah, maybe it's simple things like that. Yeah, I don't know how it sort of will play out. But yeah, I think it's definitely in the execution, but it's a cool concept, I think, in terms of essentially getting, I'm not going to say it's not free use out of the content, but like they're elongating the use of this content that they built, you know, 15, 16 years ago. Because to be fair, I mean, I think most people who have played an MMO will say that like WoW PvE, particularly in raids and large scale raids, is still the best implementation of any system, right? Yeah. Like I don't think there's another. I mean, I think Final Fantasy. I haven't raided in Final Fantasy. From what I can tell, it's probably similar, just on a smaller scale with only like 8 people.
It's
right?
It's different. It's comparable but different. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think in terms of like large amounts, like the 20, 30, 40 plus people like getting together on a night, which 40 people is a lot of people. Like it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of people.
Is so many people.
It's a lot of people to pull together to do something. And I think that's sort of the appeal to this. So yeah, I mean, I think this is a very cool progression in terms of how they use WoW Classic. Now they've got this sort of base set up and it'll be fun to see how they take it moving forward, right? Because like a couple other quick things that they're doing, which makes sense, is they're increasing the XP rate. So like you basically
it's
level
gonna be Burning Crusade level XPs, which is great. I think it's going to alleviate some of the points where you really just kind of need to grind. Although if you're leveling, like if you have a guild and you can do dungeons, like if you can go and run Nomer and run Zul'Farak and all that, that does help a lot with it because they're good sources of XP. But also having just like basically 30% more XP is pretty substantial.
That'll be real nice. And then they're also, I think the other things they said they're doing is like meeting stones become summoning stones now. So you'll be able to summon people out to instances as long as you have 2 people on the stone, which will help in sort of quickening that up. And then they're increasing the number of gathering nodes. So like herbalism and mining nodes, there'll be an increase in those, which just, I think they said that the biggest problem there was like, because of the amount of people that played, like the economy ended up being shot very quickly because there wasn't a bunch of like natural resources or just individual resources available.
The Purple Lotus shortage, I heard all about that.
Yeah. So it's cool. I think, you know, the speed up, the making bosses more difficult, you know, providing like a set schedule of like every 2 months, a new phase comes out, which means there's like a new set of gear, a new piece that you need to do is really nice. The other thing too, and they were actually very specific about this, is that they're not increasing loot drops from raid bosses.
They see that as part of the difficulty increase. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is actually a cool way of increasing the difficulty in terms of like, because I think in like the original phasing that when they phased this out, by the time you got to the next phase, as a group, you basically had all the best items you needed, right? Like as a raid. So you went in as powerful as you could be, where like in this new scenario, you know, with only like, I think I mentioned like 7, actually it's going to be more than that because I don't think what's the second instance? Second phase contains Blackwing Lair. So it's phase 3 contains Blackwing Lair, I guess, in the way the phasing works. So you basically have, you know, 4 months to raid Molten Core and Nyxia, right? To get the best gear there before you enter Blackwing Lair. So not too terrible, but still, it's what, 16-ish?
Yeah, you're going to end up with less gear than you would have otherwise. And that, of course, assumes you hit 60 or at least like 58 or whatever you need for it to actually enter Molten Core. The first week. And if you're behind, like if you finish it 4 weeks later, then, you know,
you're screwed.
It's going to take you a bit.
Yeah.
But then there's things like, I don't think that it's going to be a bait. Well, we'll see what the changes they do. I'm curious if we will see someone still get that kind of like week one, day one kill of Ragnaros, we saw on the Classic launch.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see what they pull together. And then as a yearly thing, I think it's cool that they're bringing back this sort of seasonal thing. Cause I think like this, for this direction they move WoW, I think at least WoW Classic, would be interesting to treat it almost like a Diablo type seasonal thing, right? Where like you basically do the same thing over and over again, but it's in WoW and it's with your raids. So you can sort of, I think the biggest thing is going to be how they make changes, particularly to the raid encounters. So I think if that isn't implemented well, then this falls on its face because it's just a faster WoW classic that you don't know what happened. Like, you know, it's just faster WoW classic. Like, but if they get right sort of the raid difficulty piece, it'd be cool. And like, not that I want to see this, them now like take this idea and go Season of the Mastery Burning Crusade or like Season of the Mastery Wrath of the Lich King. It would be nice.
Dude, and I don't know how you do this. Imagine if they did Season of the Mastery Wrath of the Lich King and you know, you're doing your heroic 25 man Lich King and you get to the end and it does the whole thing with, it does like the cutscene and everything. Yeah. And then like Sylvanas just, or like Bolvar just shatters the helm and Denathrius steps in. And then you have to do Denathrius
in the same
just
fight. Like,
just right there. It's a 25 minute encounter.
That'd be crazy, dude. It'd be crazy. It would be cool. To be fair, like I know that's like a far-fetched thing, but it would be cool to see them go back and maybe re-envision fights and become like the it would be cool to do that. I just, the biggest problem is going to be, at least for me personally, is like finding the time to find a group of people that want to do that, right? Yeah. Like I think it's
I have run exactly one dungeon in all the time I've spent playing WoW Classic, and it was Dead Mines.
Nice.
I didn't even get all the way through it. so
yeah, I did like Black Fathom Depths and a couple other ones in Classic. But yeah, I mean to me the concept sounds cool. I just don't know, like, and I would want to do it because I think, like, I like raiding, but my biggest barrier to raiding is like I have to make friends with people and like find a group of people that wants to play the game, and like
it is a little awkward that like, so my guild having two raid teams could, if everybody was interested, actually field a like roster for Classic to raid 40 man raids, but I don't think there's that level of interest with how high the amount of time investment is.
Oh yeah, it's a huge investment in terms of getting time in there.
Yeah,
that's sort of I think the biggest sort of hurdle is the time investment. And then like I feel like in terms of something like the one thing that I'm worried about Season of the Mastery creating is like a like it is only for the people who only play this game, only play WoW Classic and only play it a large amount of time. And that's like the only people that get to participate, because you don't have like the tier two, we'll say, not that they're tier two, but like the next tier below the people that only play this game in terms of like raids, right? Who are like maybe getting to 60 in week 3, maybe starting raiding in week 4, and like they're just a month behind, and that's okay. Like I don't know what that population of people is.
I think
that get involved.
I think it'll be okay because there's still a decent casual player base for like classic.
Yeah.
For not BC Classic. It's certainly a lot smaller than Burning Crusade Classic, but this is something as well that like it'll come out in a point in time in between TBC phases. So, you know, the people that have been playing a bunch of Burning Crusade Classic, it'll actually probably come out at a point where it's between patches in retail and in TBC. So it's going to be kind of like, you know,
a little bit extra WoW. Yeah.
Yeah. I see it probably being okay. It's going to probably experience that same kind of drop off after the first month like Classic did, where, you know, it was insane the first month, and then like it was still populated after that, just not as populated.
That's true. Yeah, so I mean I'm interested to see how it goes, and I'd probably like to participate. It just to be fair, for me it's going to depend on the leveling and how quick that ends up being. So the other thing they did mention too in terms of the blue post is they did call out the Gates of Ankaraj and the opening there. About how they'll probably end up speeding that up if needed, which you'd almost think they'd have to, but
I think they're gonna need, although maybe they won't need to with the way that they're increasing resource availability.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there might just be enough out there.
Yeah, because if they increase the resource drops enough, then maybe they don't need to, because people can just do the turn-ins more with the same amount of time.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I never thought about it that way. So, but yeah, it's it'll be fun to see how this plays out. I guess the other big thing, and they didn't really answer this too, is like what happens at the end of a season with that character that you've just played for a year. So you'd almost assume that like it just gets dumped, right? Like just get rid of it or.
I assume that they'll like do some sort of server consolidation and people get to keep their server, like kind of like in Diablo, your seasonal characters get dumped into the normal
like, pool.
Character pool. Then, you know, at the end of the season of mastery, then this realm basically becomes a regular classic realm or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. They could do something like that. So, so I think the only other final sort of, I guess, thing I had on this was that, and it's more of a question, sort of a discussion piece, was on, do you think it would be interesting if they made like a raid-only realm where they would take old boss fights and like soup them up? Like, and I don't know if it's if its own realm or if it's like a component of retail where like you take your current retail character and for like similar to like Legion time walking, right? But like it's like, well, with any of the time, sorry.
Are you familiar with ultimate fights in Final Fantasy?
I'm not. No, is it that concept?
almost. So it's a little bit more than that because it's like it's one boss, it's one encounter, mm-hmm. but it takes like an entire raid of bosses and like strings them together into one big long fight.
Okay.
So there's like, Ultimate Coils of Bahamut or something like that, Yukob, that takes like bosses, elements of bosses from like the entire, this used to be like a four wing raid in A Realm Reborn, and it takes elements of fights throughout that and turns it into like one single 20 minute long raid encounter that's like really difficult.
That'd be cool.
So this is something that I think based on that, like that's something that is cool and exciting. And I think doing something like that, where like, even if it's just transmog rewards, like give us new armor sets.
Yeah.
Or new weapon models. That would be cool. I'm on board with that. I'm also on board with them like doing more with the time walking raid stuff. Like give us like the ability to go back and do, you know, Mythic Nighthold or you know, Mythic HFC, and have it actually be tuned well.
Yeah, like appropriately. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, so like we had time walking, what, Black Temple and Old War? Mm-hmm. That had some like tuning quirks from the scaling stuff that got fixed, but by and large were not particularly difficult. They're like normal level. Maybe the final boss is like a heroic level boss, but not a heroic level end boss.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be, that's the one thing that I thought about as this sort of season of the mastery stuff came out, was like it would be cool if they did this in retail, but with like either a grouping of bosses or like a bunch of abilities from an instance, right? But sort of take the boss itself and sort of like put it on steroids, right? And like make it difficult and like make the reward something like specific, right? Like an armor
piece, something or like a Trial of Valor or a Crucible of Storms, but you know, have it be, you know, Garrosh Hellscream and Archmond from Hellfire, whatever the last raid in Wad was. That was Hellfire Citadel, right?
HFC?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah, something like that. Just like, you know, here's three bosses, we soup them up, have fun.
Yeah.
There's no time limit, just have fun.
Yeah, no, that would be a cool concept. I'm wondering, and I always come to this too, is like I'm wondering what the reward structure would be, is if like transmog would be enough to get people, at least in my guild, to go and do it. Because I'd want to do it just for the challenge of doing it, but I know that like a lot of people that I raid with, not a lot of people, but like, you know, people that are, not everybody that I raid with just does it for the challenge, right?
Right.
There's like some sort of like tangible benefit at the end of it to do it. So but yeah, that would be a cool way of maybe expanding this into retail if they thought about it or wanted to do it that way. So, but yeah, no, to be fair, a topic like this, I'm somewhat excited about it. But I think, yeah, at the same time, I think the timing piece is going to be difficult. But if I could make it work, man, like I would go back and try and rush through Classic again, because those boss fights are just so, like, at least in my mind, like, because that's where I started, like, they're so iconic to me in terms of like coming through like a little cubby hole and like seeing what's the first boss of Molcor, like Shirat, what's the name of it? It's an S. Can't place it. I'm such an idiot.
Asking the wrong guy.
Oh God, no! Now I look like an idiot. I love this game. Oh no! What's the name of it?
I mean, at least you're not like describing BFA Dungeons when talking about Legion Time Walking.
Oh my God, Lucifron. I wasn't even close. But like saying like Lucifron, like the first time, or like the big dog Magmadar at the end of the tunnel, and like getting confused about this is the end. So I don't know. A lot of that stuff, like, yeah, I played with a bunch of funny people back then, so it'd be cool to go back and like re-experience that stuff. So anyway, enough of a nostalgia trip for me.
Yeah, I this actually makes me want to go and finish leveling my classic character. If it's still like level 48 or something like that, maybe not even that, maybe it's 44. I think my BC character is now higher level than my classic character.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Funny. Awesome then. I think that's it for the topic tonight. So I unfortunately did not do any lore corner work, as you can tell by the notes.
I mean, you were out of town, and then Kelly Sivanis, so
out of town. I literally have played, I will be completely honest with you and in sort of the group here. I've only played New World since we killed Sivanis.
How is it?
It is it's surprisingly good. Like it is very much not a WoW game. It's like it's more
the way I've kind of heard it, like the analogy is it's basically OSRS with like better paint.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good. If you ever played a game called Albion Online, which was like a similar MMO, but it's like a isometric viewpoint type game. It's kind of like that, where like crafting is huge, like crafting your own gear and stuff like that. Resource collection is huge. You basically have like an XP bar for everything, like wood cutting and like then actually crafting, there's XP associated to it. The world's very big and it's very slow. There's no mounts. You have to generally run everywhere. A couple of portal points you can use. So no, it's been really fun. Just in terms of being like a very like chill game for me, at least. Like it's the first MMO that's come out since WoW that I've gotten into that I haven't spent like hours before its release, like learning everything I can and then picking this is the optimal thing and this is what I'm gonna do. I've literally just been like, all right,
it's
cool.
MMOs are so different when you don't like take them incredibly seriously. Like,
so yeah, it's funny. I was talking to my friends today and I'll give you an attitude of how much I don't know about this game is that, so anytime you port around, you use a currency that you get, right? And the main story quest always has you port to has one location. You always basically go out in the world and then come back, and sort of that's like the loop. And it can seem like if you just do the main story, you're literally like running for 45 minutes, doing a 5-minute quest, and then turning around, running 45 minutes back to turn it in. Super annoying. What I didn't realize was that the currency you use to port, the main story quest gives you extra of. So like, you essentially can always pour back whenever you want and you'll like never run out of that resource. So like, I didn't know that.
Until I started running back and forth.
I was running back and forth, right? And then like, there was like other things that like, the questing is so like all over the place, I guess would be the right way to say it, is like, you sort of just pick where you want to go. So like, for me, it's like, I literally just like look at my map where all like my quests are and just run in a random direction and like do some and then like check my map, run somewhere else. It's been a lot of fun. Tons of drama, which is great. I feel like that's the one nice thing about like
it's player driven, right? Like drama is par for the course.
But it's more than they're like in WoW, right? The drama is like in your faction and somebody says something, it's stupid. But like with this game, there's global chat, which is global across all three factions. They call them covenants in the game.
Okay, yeah.
So you can talk to people from the other you know, covenants or whatever. And then there's also a covenant specific chat that's global, so you can speak to everybody else. And so you'll see these, like, and then there's PvP wars for territory. So you literally can know a war went on as soon, and whether we won or lost based on global chat, and like, I'm in the syndicate based on, we call it syndicate chat, but based on covenant chat, right? About the amount of people that are screaming at each other. And then like a couple of my friends stirred up some stuff the other night where they were like, they took a fort from this covenant and then blamed it on somebody else. And apparently those two guilds had a truce with each other. They're like starting to stir up stuff there. And it's still going on today. Like I logged in today and people were like, this is like, why do we have truces? This is a PvP game. And like, they're like, these hypocritical guys are ridiculous. And it's just like, it's, dude, it's like old school MMO stuff, just like in the game. I don't know. Like, I don't get involved much, or I'll throw my one-liners, but it's just, it's cool that you have like a server, like with people who know who
that people actually are. Makes like, me want to like play the game. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
And I don't know how long it's going to last. Cause like, to be fair, like people could quit next month and you know, it's whatever, but I mean, it's $40. There's no sub fee. I mean, I'm only level 24 and I feel like I've gotten my $40 worth in like the time that I spent. So there's definitely like some quirks that make it annoying.
Maybe I'll do that after we kill some bonus.
It's a cool, like, you could be like me. I mean, you can read a bunch of stuff if you want about it, but like for me, I didn't read anything. I just picked a weapon. I guess the other thing too is that the weapons, so you don't pick a class. You basically just, you can pick up any weapon and use it. And like the weapons have XP. So similar to probably Final Fantasy somewhat in that regard. And then the weapons have like a talent tree. So like as you use a weapon more, you get XP for that weapon. And then you can get like more abilities and skills and stuff with that. So, and all the weapons feel both good and different. So like you'll know when you're using like a little hatchet that's supposed to be quick versus like a great axe or like a great hammer. Like the axe and the hammer are different in like the way that they swing. The combat's super, like if you're a similar level with things, you can't just run in and like click and expect to win. Like you have to block or dodge and stuff like that. So it's engaging. So check it out. It's been a fun week so far. So in terms of grinding on some new world, cut down a ton of trees. Love chopping down trees. So
that does seem like your jam.
Yeah. No, all the numbers go up, dude. There's so many different XP bars.
There's so many different numbers that go up.
Exactly. It's super fun. I found out too that I can train mobs on people. So like the other thing is like as soon as you see a resource node, there's generally only one of them. If somebody's hitting it.
No, they brought that back.
If somebody's hitting it, they get it and you can't retap it. But if they get hit by anything, it knocks them off the node. So I have learned that I can run mobs by other people. And the mob will then turn and attack that person, knock them off, and then I'll run in and use it real quick and steal it.
Oh, you monster.
It's great.
Dude, I can't. I'm getting flashbacks to like trained his own.
It's not that bad. They do leash, and the leash distance is fairly big. I haven't been able to like nail it down just yet in terms of like knowing like in WoW exactly when something leashes, but they do leash, but yeah, you can still pull mobs on top of people. It's great. So I'm an awful person. But it's fun. So you can also steal people's loot.
Really
too, so
like embracing the PvP gameplay there.
Exactly. But I don't flag. So they just yell at me then. And in like area chat or like global chat. And then you get global chat fights with people. Oh gosh. So it's a fun game to just sort of mess around in. So,
yep.
So cool. But awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all right. I think that is going to wrap up our show for today. This might be the first time ever that we've been like
early,
reasonably on time. Like we're making up for all of our like 3 hour episodes with true. Today's being like, you know, hour and 20 minutes instead.
Exactly.
So. All right. But that is going to be the episode for today. Thank you all for watching, for listening. If you enjoyed the show and you want to support it and all the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, we have our Discord that is a great place to come and hang out. No Patreon required. Just come and hang out. The lounge channels are always a good time. I think they're probably talking about F1 right now because it's Sunday. Is there F1 today?
There was a race today.
Yeah, so they're almost certainly talking about F1. I haven't looked yet, but
yeah, it was a crazy race.
Yeah, so they're definitely talking about F1.
Yeah,
just like Drew Lounge is talking about F1 right now. I guarantee it. But it's a good time. It's a good time. And you know what? We should too. I got this idea from another podcast. We should like recap on the show, like just like, hey, here's the new articles or posts or whatever that we did this week. I don't know that would be an every week thing because I feel like there's plenty of droughts where there's just like nothing.
Yeah, we should.
But when there's a new analysis post or whatever on Peak, we should talk about it here.
I agree. It's a good idea. Put that in the notes.
But yeah, that's it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.